canto, the Summum Bonum. Chapter number 12, we're beginning the killing of the demon Agasura. First, we will chant the 12-syllable mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Let us read the chapter summary which has been given to us by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This chapter describes in detail Krishna's pastime of killing Agasura. One day, Krishna wanted to enjoy a picnic lunch within the forest, and therefore he went out early into the forest with the other cowherd boys, accompanied by their respective groups of calves. While they were enjoying their picnic, Agasura, the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura, appeared there, desiring to kill Krishna and his companions. The demon, who had been sent by Kamsa, assumed the form of a python, expanding himself to the length of 8 miles and the height of a mountain, his mouth seeming to extend from the surface of the earth to the heavenly planets. Having assumed this feature, Agasura lay on the road. Krishna's friends, the cowherd boys, thought that the demon's form was one of the beautiful spots of Vrindavan. Thus, they wanted to enter within the mouth of this gigantic python. The gigantic figure of the python became a subject for their sporting pleasure, and they began to laugh, confident that even if this figure were dangerous, Krishna was there to protect them. In this way, they proceeded toward the mouth of the gigantic figure. Krishna knew everything about Agasura, and therefore he wanted to forbid his friends to enter the demon's mouth. But in the meantime, all the cowherd boys, along with their groups of calves, entered the mouth of the gigantic figure. Krishna was waiting outside, and Agasura was waiting for Krishna, thinking that as soon as Krishna entered, he would close his mouth so that everyone would die. While waiting for Krishna, he refrained from swallowing the boys. In the meantime, Krishna was thinking of how to save the boys and kill Agasura. Thus, he entered the mouth of the gigantic Asura. And when he was within the demon's mouth, along with his friends, he expanded his body to such an extent that the Asura suffocated and died. After this, Krishna, by casting his nectarian glance upon his friends, brought them back to life, and with pleasure they all came out unhurt. Thus Krishna encouraged all the demigods, and they expressed their pleasure and happiness. For a crooked, sinful person, there is no scope for sayujya mukti, or becoming one with the effulgence of Krishna. But because the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered the body of Agasura, by his touch, this demon got the opportunity to merge into the existence of the Brahman effulgence and thus attain sayujya mukti. When this pastime was performed, Krishna was only 5 years old. 1 year later, when he was 6 years old and he stepped into the Pauganda age, this pastime was disclosed to the inhabitants of Braja. Parikshit Maharaj inquired, "Why is it that this pastime was disclosed only after 1 year, and yet the inhabitants of Raja thought it had been performed that very day?" With this question, the 12th chapter ends. So now we will chant the first verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Dadhat Vrajat Prata Sumotaya Vayasya Vatsapan Prabodayan Chingravavena Charuna Vinyagato Vatsapura Sato Hari Shri Shuka Uvacha Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Dadad Vrajat Prata Sumutaya Vayasya Vatsapan Prabodayan Chingra Ravena Charuna Vinirgato Vatsa Purah Saro Hari Shri Shuka Uvacha Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Dadhad Vrajat Prata Sumutaya Vayasya Vatsapan Prabhodayan Tringa Ravena Charuna Vanirgato Vatsa Pura Sahro Hari. Kindly chant. Shuka Uvacha. Vatsapan. Prabodayan Tringa Ravena Charuna. Manirgato Vatsa Pura Saro Hari. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Dadad Vrajat. Prabodayan Tringa Ravena Charuna Vinirgato Vatsa Purasaro Hari Shri Shuka Uvacha Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Dadhad Vrajat Prata Sumutaya Vayasya Vatsapan Prabodayan Tringa Ravena Charuna Vinirgato Vatsa Purasaro Hari. Ladies, Shri Shuka Uvacha Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Dadad Vrajat Prata Sumutaya Vayasya Vatsapan Prabodayan Tringa Ravena Charuna Vanirgato Vatsa Pura Saro Hari. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Dadad Vrajat. pratat sumutaya vayasya vatsapan. Prabodayan Sringa Ravena Charuna Venir Gato Vatsa Pura Sarohari. Anyone else? Sri Shugau Vacha Kvachid Vanashayamano Dadad Vrajat Pratat Sumotaya Vayasya Vatsapan Prabodayan Sringa Ravena Charuna Venir Gato Vatsa Purasaro Hari Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Kvachit, one day, Vana Ashaya, just to enjoy a picnic in the forest. Mana, mind, Dadhat, gave attention, Vrajat, and went out of Vrajabhumi. Prata, early in the morning. Sumutaya, waking up. Vayasya Vatsapan, the cowherd boys and the calves. Prabodayan, to get everyone to rise. Waking up and informing them. Sringa Ravena, by sounding the bugle made of horn. Charuna, very beautiful. Vanirgata, came out of Brajabhumi. Vatsa Purasara, keeping the respective groups of calves in front. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation, if you would kindly respond. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued. O King, one day Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. Having risen early in the morning, he blew his bugle made of horn and woke all the cowherd boys and calves with its beautiful sound. Then Krishna and the boys, keeping their respective grooves of calves before them, proceeded from Vrajabhumi to the forest. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tunadipi sunichena tarori vasa hishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama vikivalam kalo nastyeva gatiranyata. So, here we are in 10th canto, and Shukadeva Goswami is painting a nice picture for us. This 10th canto takes into consideration that you have gone through the first 9 cantos scientifically. The reason Vyasadeva has placed this 10th canto with Krishna's pastimes is because Vyasadeva wants to make sure that by the time you read this Krishna Leela, you are firmly convinced of the position of Krishna. If one still doubts the position and stature of Krishna, then this 10th canto will be very difficult to appreciate. Bhagavad Gita, for example, is meant to make us faithful to the idea that Krishna is God. We see in the 15th chapter, second to the last verse, Krishna says, if you understand me, if you know me to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, then you are the knower of everything. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, what is its mission statement? Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to clear up all other considerations, all doubts. Let's make one thing perfectly clear. The source of all incarnations is Krishna. Just as Lord Brahma speaks in this first verse of the fifth chapter, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. There are many controllers. Even on planet Earth, there are so many controllers. The demigods are controllers. Then you have Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva who are super controllers. But Krishna is Parama, the topmost, the supreme controller. And nobody is above him. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. Now, what is this Krishna? Sachid Ananda Vigraha. He's not impersonal. As he says at the end of chapter 14 in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishta aham. So many people till this day still think, oh, the Supreme is the impersonal Brahman. Everything comes from impersonal Brahman. Even your Krishna. No! Krishna himself says, stop it. Brahmano hi pratisht aham. This Brahman rests on me. We heard in the chapter summary how Agasura will merge into the effulgence of Krishna. It is Krishna's effulgence. Don't be spiritually dyslexic, thinking that Krishna comes from the Brahman. No. Pratishta aham. It rests on me. So, Sachit Ananda, that important word, Vigraha. Yes, eternal, full of knowledge, cognizance, bliss. But you could still take that to be impersonal. You hear so many impersonalist groups also chant, Satchidananda, Satchidananda. That's why that word, that last word in that line is so important. Vigraha, form, body, person. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, what is that 15th chapter? Purushottama Yoga, the supreme person, not the supreme imperson, the supreme person, Purusha Uttama, yeah, better than you. Krishna says in that 15th chapter, as it's closing up, what does Krishna say? There are only two kinds of people, not Democrats and Republicans, no. There's two types of people, fallible, infallible. If you're in this material world, you've fallen, you're fallible. You're in the spiritual world, you're infallible. Fine. But then Krishna makes a very startling statement in that 15th chapter. But I'm above both of you. Be quiet. Therefore, I am celebrated everywhere as Purusha Uttama. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna made it very clear. You are eternally individual. What did Krishna say in second chapter? Right at the beginning of his instructions. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Neither in the future shall any of us cease to be. Get used to it. You're not going anywhere. You're eternally a person. So, better get to like yourself. And if you don't like yourself, purify yourself by chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Because you're not going anywhere. We learned in the second chapter of this 10th canto, when Devaki was maintaining the form of Krishna in her womb, the demigods all came, headed by Brahma and Shiva, invisibly offering prayers to Krishna in the womb. And the verse that Prabhupada quotes over and over and over again throughout all his books, his lectures, one of his top 10 verses, that the impersonalists, they have a superiority complex. They think they have become one with the Supreme. That's all right. Ahuya Krishna Parang Patanti. They're going to fall down once again. Guaranteed. Why? Why are they going to fall down? Because of individuality and desire to enjoy variety. Because variety is the mother of enjoyment. I was explaining to my wife yesterday after breakfast. Nobody wants to eat the same thing every day. The same thing every... You'll go nuts. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. There has to be. Now, a couple of years ago, I was in Australia at the New Govardhan farm. Every day they had khichdi. I was happy. But how was their variety? Every morning a different devotee made the khichdi. And no two people make khichdi the same way. I've eaten khichdi all over the world. Nobody makes it the same way. So even though it was khichdi every day, each khichdi was a new experience. So variety, that's the mother of enjoyment. Prabhupada is teaching us how to enjoy. I never knew that. What did I know before becoming a devotee? I was ignorant, stupid, low class. But by reading Prabhupada's books and joining his movement, you learn so many things. I love this one. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha, that he is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, but he has his form. Don't deny his form. Anadir Adya Govinda. Then Brahma gives us some confidential knowledge. This name Govinda is his original name. Govinda. Everybody say. Such a nice name, Govinda. Just like our restaurant. What's its name? Yes. Just by saying it, you become happy. Just by saying this beautiful name, Govinda. One more time. Govinda. See? As soon as you say Govinda, you become fired up. That is the potency of this Krishna consciousness movement. Nam nam akari bahaja nija sarva shakti. Krishna has put his energies into his name, and still people won't chant. Still people come to the temple. I still see it everywhere I go. The kirtan's going on, and there's always that knucklehead like this. Won't say the name Krishna or Govinda, or in this first verse, this nice name, Hari. Everybody say. Hari. Oh, they're afraid of that name. That name, they're afraid. No, no, don't take my house. Don't take my car. Don't take my job. Don't take my, no, Hari, no, no. No, that's not the meaning. Hari means he is going to take away your useless crutch. You can walk free. You can be liberated. You don't need these material addictions, sense gratification. These are crutches. You think you need them. You think you need your Las Vegas to enjoy. You think you need your illicit sex, your intoxication, your meat eating, your gambling, your politics. You think you need these. Hari says, no, I'll take these things away and you take shelter of me. You don't need these false, fallible soldiers that can't save you at the time of death. The only thing that can save you at the time of death is this name of Krishna. Everybody say. So, Krishna is that person. He is the original cause. He has no cause other than himself. This is the meaning of absolute truth. Absolute truth is defined in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is definition of absolute truth. That from which everything comes. The original source. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What does he say? Aham savasya prabhava mattak sarvam pravartate. Everything's there in Bhagavad Gita. You just have to know where to look. But it's all there. Right there. In that verse of the Chatushloki of Bhagavad Gita. Everything comes from Krishna. Everything. Not some things. Everything. Everything comes from Krishna. Okay? Definition of absolute truth. That from which everything comes, that from which everything will enter, and that which is everything is sustained by. Comes from, ends into, or enters into, and is sustained by. That is the definition of absolute truth. Therefore, in the next chapter, in the second chapter of the first canto, what does he say? Sutra Goswami says, Vedantita tattva vidas, tattvam yajjnanam advayam, prameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But then Prabhupada explains throughout his books. He explains, Brahman, Paramatma, partial understanding of absolute truth. Not complete. Complete understanding of absolute truth, Bhagavan, the possessor of the opulences. That is complete. Why? Because everything is there in that form of Krishna. Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, Krishna is living in Dwaraka. Krishna is being embraced by his 16,108 wives only. He only had 16,108. It's a sign of renunciation. And before sunrise, when the rooster would make its sound, although Krishna is being braced around the neck by 16,108 goddesses of fortune, Krishna is detached. He gets up, washes his feet, hands, does achman, sits down, and does meditation. Now, Prabhupada explains, the object of meditation is either Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Anything else, meditation, you're wasting it, you're being cheated. This is the subject matter of meditation. Meditation either means Brahman, the all-pervasive, spiritual, one energy, or Krishna in the heart, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Krishna also is teaching us that in the morning, one should be fixed on meditation and the absolute truth. What's Krishna going to do? He has no other choice but to meditate on himself because he's all three. What do you want Krishna to do? Meditate on you? No, if he's going to do meditation, it's going to be Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. Guess what? He's all three. So Krishna meditates on himself. Therefore, you get people, they think they're very clever. See? Krishna meditated on himself. I'm going to meditate on myself. Bogus. And there are so many bogus societies, they teach that. You meditate on yourself. Cheaters, wasting time. Therefore, Prabhupada says, how do we don't imitate Krishna, we follow his footsteps. Therefore, we meditate on Radha Krishna. That's the whole purpose of Mangal Arti. To begin your day, just we come here before sunrise, right? No matter what, 4:30 is always going to be before sunrise. Whether they change the clock or not, 4:30 is always going to be before sunrise. So therefore, following in the footsteps of Krishna, we come and we meditate on Radha Krishna, who in this temple are known as Rukmini Dwarkadish, a conundrum wrapped around an enigma, but it's Radha Krishna. That's our meditation. And not only that, we first of all begin our meditation, Vande Guru Sri Charanada Vindam. We're not puffed up. We don't think, oh yes, we are so advanced that we can immediately meditate on Krishna. Na, 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 na. Vande Guru Sri Charanada Vinda. Your meditation begins at the lotus feet of your spiritual master. That's actually how you begin. You begin worship of the spiritual master, gradually proceed to Gaur Nitai, cleansing our offenses, and then we can, when we're free from offense, then we can nicely meditate on Radha and Krishna and chant. Have you forgotten? So, Krishna is the original cause of all causes. He has no cause other than himself. Therefore, he is the last word in the absolute truth. In this particular verse today, the picture that Shukadeva Goswami is painting for us, just see, one day, like all good stories, once upon a time, but this is not a story, it's history. This actually took place. One day, just to enjoy a picnic. That is another meaning of what it means to be God. Always enjoying. We cannot say that. We cannot say we're always enjoying. It's not possible in this material world. Even you are the richest, rich, or the most important person, you also have bad days. But Krishna, the position of God, always enjoying. Even if Krishna appears to be sad, he's enjoying. This is the feature of the spiritual platform. Just as recently we were hearing about Lord Ram. Okay? And the Chaitanya Charitamrita nicely says that this whole Ramayan Leela is actually very sad. Full of, right from the start, heartbreak. Throughout the whole Leela, sadness. But even we see Sita is crying and lamenting Ram. And Ram is crying out, Sita! Because it's on the transcendental platform, it is spiritual ecstasy. This is very difficult for us to appreciate. That's why we have to take the words of the Acharyas and listen very carefully. They're not suffering. They are feeling the highest ecstasy, vipralamba, feeling of separation. When Ram banished Sita, another feature for them to experience the highest spiritual ecstasy, feeling of intense separation in love. I could go on for 2 hours, but nobody would stay. So we'll end here. If there is a nice question or comment or even criticism, let the games begin. Yes, Mataji. Yes. Yes. The all-pervasive spiritual energy which everything is existing on. The all-pervasive spiritual energy. And you know Paramatma, Krishna in the heart. Yes, the Brahman is impersonal. Super soul is also personal, but it's a reflection of the original form, Krishna. Why? What? No, it's a valid question. Why? That's our point. That's our point. But why people don't? Jealousy, envy. They don't like this concept of personal. So the only reason somebody does not worship the personal form of Krishna, jealousy and envy. If that's your question you're asking. I thought you meant, why is there a Brahman effulgence? Well, other than that's the way Krishna wants it. Why is the sky blue? Why is Krishna dark blue? That's what he likes. Why does Krishna wear a yellow dhoti? But if the question was, why do people prefer that? It's because of jealousy and envy. Unless Narayani Mataji has a different... I heard her give classes in Australia. My mind was blown like a chickpea hit by a baseball bat. Maybe you have some insight on this?
Well, just like there's a front to Krishna, and there's a back to Krishna. So if you want to see the back, then the Brahman is for you.
Yeah.
So there has to be, everything has to be there in Krishna. There has to be person, also imperson. Everything has to be there because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Good. Yes, Amala Bhakti Maharaj. Too bad we didn't have a flying microphone. You can just...
Thanks for a nice class, Narendra Prabhuji. In regard to the point of why people do not want to worship the form of the Lord, generally speaking, we came into this world to be a Lord. And everything we do is to make us bigger and greater and grander and more wonderful, and to be looked up to, be admired, to be bowed down to even. So if I want those things, either consciously or subconsciously, then when I bow down to some other form, I'm in effect diminishing I'm taking away from what I want to be. I want to be Lord. So if I want to be Lord and I bow down to someone else, that takes away from my Lordship. It means I'm recognizing there's something higher or better or maybe greater. And that's not what I want if I want to be Lord. So therefore, I have a resistance to wanting to offer respects or honor or glorification or applause or anything that would in any way detract from me but increase to someone else.
Good. I think we'll end it here to maintain nice, strict schedule. Thank you, Nidwarka, for allowing me this service. May Krishna bless you, protect you, maintain you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Oscar, your mother was telling me that Rabindranath Prabhu is calling for you.